Hello, everybody. This is Dwayne McCochran with the Community From Within podcast. You can listen to the podcast at communityfromwithin.com, my blog, but also on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. On communityfromwithin.com, there's a contact form. If you have any comments or questions, please send me a note. And if you're listening to this on any of those platforms, like Apple Podcasts, please hit subscribe so you'll get the podcast automatically. And if you feel generous, please leave me a nice review. The Community From Within podcast is also brought to you by Good Boy Dog Treats, Good Boy Dog Treat Company. Goodboy.ca. Go to the website goodboy.ca to find out where you can get Good Boy dog treats. As of today's recording, available at one retailer at the moment, which is Wayne's Variety in Judic, which is in Inverness County, Nova Scotia, Canada. And we're looking to expand. We're working on that in the coming weeks. Also, when available, we try to attend the Mabu Farmers Market in Mabu, Nova Scotia, when the space is available. I recorded the podcast that I'm going to record today yesterday. And this morning on my drive to work, started listening to it to do a review so I could post it. And discovered quickly that the sound quality was just so terrible, I had to scrap it. Now, I've had issues in the past and scrapped some episodes because, for example, I'm driving home in my car as usual, and it's so hot that I had to open the windows, but it led to a little bit more road noise, things like that. But this time it was seemed like some kind of static issue. I think the microphone was busted. So I'm recording these on my cell phone. I have the headphones plugged in. You know, it's the kind of earbuds that have a microphone in line. And that's what I usually use. But I also... So I should have a really good pair of these and leave them in the car for nothing but recording the podcast. But of course, I have them in my car, and then I take them out and I use them around home. If I'm working around home, I often listen to podcasts or music. Sometimes, you know, you're working around the workshop and next thing you know, the cord gets snagged on something and it rips off. And well, over time, well, I go through quite a few pairs of earbuds. And although the earphones seemed to work properly, I hadn't realized that I must have busted the microphone on the other pair. So, getting rid of those. But I'll look for a good pair. I've tried expensive pairs, and I've tried the cheap ones, and I haven't found anything that seems to last very long. That's the problem, is I like listening to music and stuff when I'm working. I usually will try to tuck the cord, you know, down inside my shirt and to my... I keep my phone in my back pocket or something, but invariably it happens that the cord gets snagged and tugged or they fall out. Just the wear and tear. I should have a good pair and leave in the car so that doesn't happen, because it's frustrating. Yesterday I recorded a podcast that I want to record again today, and I was really happy with it, and oh well, it's gone. I can't do anything about it, so let's just do it again. But I have to work harder to prevent that sort of thing from happening. Oh, okay, so I was going to talk... I talked a little bit about the Good Boy dog treat, so... When I first started it, I started selling... I applied to be a vendor at the Mabu Farmers Market. If you've never been to the Mabu Farmers Market, you should go there. Look, I think it's mabufarmersmarket.ca. It's the website. Look at the schedule. Attend them. It's the best farmers market in Nova Scotia by far. I've been saying that for years. It's no joke. I've been to many farmers markets, and this is my favorite. It's got a great mix of produce and vendors for all sorts of products. And it's always a huge crowd, and it's a cheerful atmosphere, and great musicians playing. And so please check it out when you have the opportunity. It's definitely worth a trip down for it. But it's a popular market, and to be a vendor, to get in, it's difficult. So I was very fortunate to get in 3 weeks so far this year, 3 different Sundays. I'm very happy about that. That's fantastic. The last 2 weeks, I've been unable to get a spot, and that's just a testament to how popular the market is and how many vendors are there. And I didn't apply on time for this year. I was a late applicant, probably one of the last applicants, and I'm basically bottom of the pecking order. Which is fine, I understand that. This is nothing against the Mabo Farmers Market or anybody there. They're doing a fantastic job. I was very happy and grateful to get in the 3 times I did so far. And hoping to get in more this year. We'll see. Keep my fingers crossed. But anyway, knowing that, with the experience of the last 2 weeks not getting in, I have to find other avenues to sell the product. So I started looking at retail. I looked at the first place I approached was Wayne's Variety, which is a convenience store in Judic, and they've had them on the shelves and they've sold some. I have to renew the product there. It's time to pull whatever's left off the shelves. There's only a few bags left, I think. So it went really well, but I have to do some baking and restock them. I'm also looking at improving the packaging. I'm very, I'm dehydrating these things. They're spent grain dog treats. So spent grain, organic flour, peanut butter, and egg. And they're baked and then dehydrated so that they last a long time. And if they dehydrate well, they last a long time. And I still have some that I baked back in April as a test, and they're still perfect condition, even though they're in a room that's actually kind of humid and they're open. I've just left some in bags, some not in bags, just trying to see. I'm trying to keep an eye on these things. I've only seen a couple that turn moldy, so what is that? The last time I baked them, I had to use 3 different dehydrators. So if they're different brands, different types. So I just, in those craft, it's a craft like a lunch bag that I've been using. I have a nice stamp on it and a label. So the packaging turned out okay, but you can't see the product itself inside. So I've been looking at those, basically a craft type of bag that has a little cellophane window in it. And as far as I know, in saying that, I'm trying to be as environmentally friendly as possible here. That's why I wanted craft bags in the first place, something compostable. As far as I understand, cellophane comes from the word cellulose, which is made from wood fiber, lignin or wood fiber, and it's supposed to be biodegradable. So that's what I'm shooting for. I'm trying to find a product like that. So I've been doing some research. I got to order something. And it'll be the type of bags that are resealable. They'll have either a tin tie or something at the top to reseal the bag to keep the product, keep the air out and the product fresh. And you'll be able to see inside the bag. And they'll look better, a little more professional. It's going to add to my cost. I'm not going to increase the price, but I think it's worth it. If I can find a cost-effective supplier. Now that I'm a registered business and I have a tax number, a business number, I don't have a tax number yet. I'm going to be applying for a GST number. Once I have that, I can maybe get a wholesale account with food packaging suppliers, and then that'll lower my cost versus just trying to find a supplier online. But yeah, so with that, I want to go that route. I want to get that done first and in place before I expand to other retailers. I think with the better packaging, I can take it. It'll look better when I go to try to find the other retailers. And also, as an exercise for this podcast, more than anything else, I said before I'd like to try selling online. Or people have asked me about selling online, and I have not, because I haven't gone into the post office to check the actual cost, but just doing a quick search on the Canada Post website, typing in the dimensions of the bag and the package and the weight, it seemed like shipping costs would be cost prohibitive. And don't quote me on anything I'm about to say here, because I've done some very brief research on this, but my understanding, my basic rudimentary understanding right now, is to be a seller on Amazon with Amazon fulfillment of the order. The way it works like this. Now, what that means is, I'll explain it. If you want to sell on Amazon with Amazon doing the order fulfillment, you sign up, you have to create an account and sign up as a seller. Then you go through the rigmarole of describing your product and everything and putting the number of each product, like if you have the spent grain dog treats and which flavor, which size, how many of each, let's say 30 bags of each. And then you download the form, you print it off with some labels, and then you, I'm assuming, pay for the shipping cost to ship all of that product to Amazon. You ship it to one of their warehouses, and then once they receive it, then it shows up as inventory on your online, on the Amazon listings, and then you can sell. And as you sell, Amazon sends the order, and it comes off your inventory. If you ever see on Amazon where it says there's 7 left in stock, 6 left in stock, 5 left in stock, that's how they do that, because they know how many are in their warehouse. And you can, while this is happening, you're preparing more product and you send it to them. This is my understanding based on what I read. I have to do some more research. So I'll do that, and I think I'm going to look into it to see if it's possible. I don't know how the pricing works and all that stuff, because, I mean, with, let's say, Amazon Prime, it's free shipping, but I don't know if you ever noticed it. Sometimes when you see something that has free shipping, the price tends to be a little bit higher, the price point, than another product that's, it's a lower price with added shipping costs. So how that all works, I have to look that up and make sure that, I don't even know what kind of a cut Amazon takes, how much percentage, I don't know. But I just thought, as an exercise for this, because Amazon is a popular place for people to sell their products, I also may in the future look at an Etsy account. Etsy is more for people selling crafts, I believe, but it's all kinds of products out there. And so I'll investigate that as well at some point. But for now, I thought I'll look into the Amazon thing. Okay, so the major project, I introduced that in one of the last podcasts, talking about the idea of starting a business from scratch with zero money of my own, without borrowing any money. And we did a brainstorming session, and so we're going to do an art business. I'm going to make artwork and sell it, whether online or through markets or something. We'll figure that out, but point being, start this from scratch without borrowing any money. And when I say that, that's not to say borrowing money can't work. It can. There can be good... What am I trying to say here? There might be business ideas you have where that's your only option. If you have a business idea, but the only way to get started is if you have $150,000 in the bank, and you don't have that money, well, you might have to borrow. You might have to find investors if it's a solid business idea. We'll talk more about these things later. For the purposes of this project, my goal, my aim here is to demonstrate to you that if you have a good idea and a basic, you know, you have a good idea that you can start out with some basic, you know, easy to acquire materials. It just takes a little bit of ingenuity and elbow grease to make it work. You can start a business from scratch with almost nothing. With nothing at all. And this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to collect recyclables. And what I mean by that is I'm going to walk up and down the side of the road and pick up cans and bottles. Because every can or bottle is, what, 5 cents mostly? Some of them are 10 cents. Maybe like glass beer bottles are 10 cents, maybe. But let's just say even 5 cents a piece. It's sad that it's there, but driving up and down the roads, and you see this everywhere I've ever been. You see people walking up and down the roads and highways picking up recyclables. And I've done this in the past. I've done some cleanups. My parents live on where I grew up was on a dirt road. And years ago, I did a cleanup. This is 10 or 15 years ago or something. And it's only about 1 kilometer from their place to the road. But I did both sides of the road over a couple days. And I had almost 3 truckloads of garbage and stuff. But a lot of recyclables as well. Probably, within that 1 kilometer span, probably 4 bags of recyclables. You're talking about $20. So $20 of recyclables in a 1 kilometer stretch of dirt road. Now, that would be awesome if I found that same amount of recyclables everywhere, for one thing, but we'll have to see. But point being, where was I going? Oh yeah, so the difficult part is that I hate the idea of the garbage, period, you know. To think that it's 2019 and people still throw chip bags and fast food wrappers and bags and coffee cups and things like that out the window. I mean, these are ignorant, you know, I have to watch my language here. It's just sad when you see it, you know, especially, you know, we live in one of those beautiful places in the entire world, and you have some doofus throwing out, you know, empty cigarette package on the side of the road, in the ditch. Bloody idiots. But for the purpose of this project, I want to demonstrate to you, you know, if your goal is to go out there and find recyclables, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it on my road where I live. I may be a little more strict less strict about what I pick up, in the sense I might pick up more garbage if I see it. And I have done a lot of walking up and down my road, and I've seen some things that I need to pick up. But for the purpose of the project, I want to be able to say that, okay, I spent an hour today and this is what I collected. I spent an hour this day and this is what I collected. So you can see how quickly it adds up. Quickly or not quickly, I don't know how this is going to go. But I'll also do it on some of the main roads, and I may even go just do some time on the Trans-Canada in a couple places as well, and let you know how it goes. For some people, you may think that's belittling or something. I don't, you know. But it all comes down to this. I mean, you have a good idea, you want to make it work. You're on a low income or fixed income, maybe, or you just, whatever your income level, you don't have the money to spare, you're stretched, and you want to do something to move your idea forward. How badly do you want to do it? There's free money out there. I'm driving home every day, I see cans and bottles in the ditch. It's a little harder this time of year with all the foliage, with all the greenery. It's been a lush summer, there's a lot of good sun and rain, and all the plants are pretty thick, so it's hard. This early spring after the snow melts is probably the easiest time. But I want to move this project along, I want to get it going, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start, I may even record a podcast just while I'm walking up and down the side of the road picking up cans and bottles. Look at that, there's a bottle right there. 5 cents. I just drove by a nickel. But 20 nickels is a dollar. 100 nickels is $5. 1,000 of them is $50. How much money do we need to start this artwork business? $50. $50 will get us a set of paintbrushes, some paints, and some canvases at the dollar store. And then you work on that, and then you sell some stuff. Maybe you keep picking up some recyclables and buy some more canvases. I'm going to do this all as a project. Did I talk about the accounting in another podcast? I'm sorry, I've actually recorded so many in the past couple weeks. I don't remember all the things I spoke about. I think I talked about the accounting aspect, or at least I introduced the topic that at some point we'll get into doing accounting and how to do that. I did talk about that. I did a course in accounting. I've done accounting for nonprofit groups a little bit. By no means do I know what I'm doing exactly, but we're going to figure it out together. And so for the artwork project, I think I said this, everything will be 100% open and transparent. Every cent that comes in or out as I do this project is for this podcast, for you to see how it works. So we're gonna if we make some money, we're gonna make sure that we put that money back into the business to grow that business. You know, if we go out there, we get all these, we have $50 worth of recyclables, we buy some canvases and some paints and paintbrushes, and we sell them all, and we make $100. Off of that, and then we spend that $100 on something else, and then we're back to square one. We don't have any more money. We have to go collect more recyclables again to buy more canvases and maybe more paints and paintbrushes. We'll see. The point is, okay, let's say you make $100. Okay, maybe you can pay yourself 50 of that. Use the other 50 to go buy more canvases and put it into it. And as the time goes on, maybe buy more expensive paintbrushes, more expensive canvases, more expensive paints. Maybe buy this is the project, this is the idea. This is going to be very idea specific. But the point is, put it back into that business. Put it into promotion, to develop or promote a website. I don't know. We'll have to figure this out. How are we going to sell the artwork? I don't know exactly. Did I talk about this? That's the trouble when I scrapped yesterday's podcast, because I couldn't. I was trying to even listen to it to write down some notes for today to re-record it, and I couldn't hear it. So point being, I think there's ways to sell the artwork. A lot of people, sometimes you see them on the buy and sell groups on Facebook. Sometimes you see on Kijiji, stuff like that. Just have a website. We'll do that sort of thing. But also, I want to try, just selling somewhere, like finding a parking lot on the side of the road and build. My wife's from Europe. We've been over there a number of times, and we bought some artwork from people like this. They have these big, like, A-frame wooden structures with racks on them, and they're covered with artwork. And they always keep large pieces of plastic and bungee cords around in case it rains and stuff. But they're set up all over the place, in public markets and street corners, and there are artists selling their artwork. And we'll try that too. We'll do that. Maybe we'll apply for a farmer's market somewhere as well. But point being, we're going to make this open, transparent. We're going to grow the business and push it. So that's it. That's what I wanted to introduce, was the topic. Excuse me. I wanted to introduce the topic of how we're going to come up with the money. And down the road, maybe we'll look at doing a GoFundMe, you know, or a Kickstarter campaign for something. We'll come up with an idea and we'll do that. Just to go through and walk you through the process of how to do that. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I mean, I don't mean to judge anybody at all, of course. You never know everybody's entire situation. But sometimes you see people putting these GoFundMes and asking people to spread around and support them, and it's like, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know, to each their own. If it works, it works. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more. But, I mean, you know, there's good causes out there. And people have genuinely good ideas, you know. It's good to help people out. If you know somebody needs help, it's good to help them out. And that's just another way of doing it. So maybe we'll do something with that down the road. But for this project, this is what I'm calling the major project of the podcast for now. We're doing that without borrowing money or getting money from other sources. Okay. So I thought about a couple other things too today. Is one other thing that's very popular these days, you hear that, you might have heard or seen ads online for Shopify, for online stores. If you have a website, you might have an online store. Shopify is a popular one. There's other ones as well, and I'm not trying to pick one or the other, it's just that's the one that came to mind. But drop shipping, the idea is you don't even manufacture or make the product. You just find the products from suppliers. You have a website, like on a Shopify or something like that, and you set it all up, and it's almost like automatic. Somebody sends the order through your store, it goes automatically to the supplier. Supplier drop ships it, is the term. They ship it direct to your customer, and you just get a cut out of it. Your job is to create the mix of products, the site, and do the promotion of it. So a lot of times, if you're scrolling on Facebook and you see all these ads for, you know, I get a kick out of there's ads that it's so obvious that they take your personal data, right? So you'll see, you know, I'm a man who was born in May, and I'm blah, blah, blah. Well, they're obviously, the ad is targeting you because it knows some of your Facebook information. And so those ads generally are from what you call drop shipping companies. The person who set that up and put those ads out probably has a website somewhere where you can order that t-shirt if you click on the link. But they don't actually make the t-shirts. It's a supplier somewhere else. And as each individual order comes in, the supplier mails it direct to the customer, whoever buys it. So that's drop shipping. I'd like to get it. I've never done it. No idea. Other than what I just described, that's my basic understanding of it. But I'd like to, as an exercise for the podcast, to do something with drop shipping so that we all can get that experience. And I'm going to pause this for 1 second. Okay, I had to stop the car there for a minute. I paused the recording, but hopefully you won't notice that, but it actually stopped recording on me, so I'll have to edit these two together again. But so I think I finished what I wanted to say in this the drop shipping idea. Just trying to give you an idea of more things, you know, like when I started this, I can't believe this is going to come out as episode 17 of the podcast. And when I first started it, I had no idea I would get that far, that I'd have that much to talk about. But of course, I want this to go on for a while, so I need to come up with new ideas and new topics all the time, aside from just the major themes and projects I want to work on. So I think it's good. I think there's a lot to work with out there. I mean, we're talking about economic development in Cape Breton Island. It's not a light topic. It's not not a topic without a lot of meat on it. You know what I mean? There's a lot there. There's the history. I mean, we could go into the historical stuff. Where my community of Judic, I don't know if I talked about this before. Maybe I have. Sorry if I'm repeating myself. But so Judic, the first settler in Judic was Michael Moore. I'm passing the cairn commemorating him. in Zurich now, as I drive here. And so he settled here in 1775. And I'm trying to think when I saw this. Roughly 100 years later, maybe a little more, I think it was the 1890s. Between 1870s, 1890s, at one point the Judic area rivaled Sydney as the largest community on Cape Breton Island. Like, at one point Judic had like 2,050 people on the census. Sydney had 2,150. It's crazy to think of, but back then at one point those were the populations. And in the 1890s, I think it was, I seen this article from the Antigonish newspaper, The Casket, from way back then. It was in the archives or something. And there's this quote. I had it written down somewhere. I wish I could find it, but I'm just paraphrasing here. But it has something to the effect of, if some, you know, person could only come up with a way to keep the young people from leaving, Judic would be a wonderful place with a strong and vibrant economy, or something to that effect. So back in the 1890s, you know, this idea of young people leaving the community to go elsewhere was already identified as a problem. And when I first got involved with community economic development myself, that was one of the reasons why. I have the same idea. I want to keep the young people from leaving, people like myself, from desiring to go elsewhere and not come back. It's fine to go out in the world. I encourage it. But, you know, to do so with either A, no desire to come back, or B, no opportunity to come back, that's the worst. If you have no desire, that's fine. But if you have no opportunity, you don't see opportunity or hope for opportunity, that's the worst. And today, what, the population of Judic is what, 300 or 400? Very small village. So, you know, my point being, you know, there's a lot there. And that's just one community. I could do a whole series of podcasts on the historical, you know, economic situation of Judic from the 1775 right up till today. And to look at all of Cape Breton, there's a lot to work with there. So there's some other things that we can talk about and look at in the future as well. And yeah, I think that's about it for today. I think I'm pretty well done. I just wanted to say what else. Oh yeah, so, and the next podcast, I thought something else that I just learned about. Okay, so a lot of the stuff I've been talking about so far is about either A, stuff having to do with nonprofit organizations, like community centers or development groups, and B, as individuals, you know, starting a business and coming up with business ideas. But at the bare bones, you know, like, you know, economic development comes down to individuals and individuals improving their situations. And so there's ways to, you know, improve your economic situation aside from actually going and starting a business necessarily. And sometimes just smaller things and one-offs, you know. So I'd like to look at some of those ideas as well and talk about that. I think in the brainstorming session, and of course I'm driving, I don't have my notes with me. In the brainstorming session for coming up with the artwork idea, I think I mentioned writing a book as a method. Basically, you're saying we become a writer. And so, if you think about that, like, to write a book as a way of making money, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of authors out there who'll say that's not a way to make money. But, you know, maybe that's your skill, maybe that's your idea. The reason I'm talking about that, I'm going to talk about this more in the next podcast, but I always loved writing and wanted to do that. So what I saw recently was, this is of course based in Canada, we have our national public broadcaster, the CBC, and every year they have contests, including a poetry contest, a non-fiction contest, and a short story contest. Excuse me. And so I thought, okay, here's an idea. As an exercise for the podcast and for myself. Again, going back to the whole, you know, if I put it out there, I'm talking to you about this, then I'm accountable to it. I'm going to write a short story for the CBC Literary Short Story Prize, which is, I think, $6,000 is the winner. And there's other prizes as well. But anyway, point being, you know, as an exercise, and I'll get more into the next episode. Next episode's going to be talking about doing that. I'm going to write a story for the short story contest with CBC, which has a deadline. Yeah, that's why I want to bring up. The deadline, I think, is October 31st or something like that. I'll have the details in the next episode. But, yeah. So that'll be fun. Side project. Yeah, that's why I'll do another podcast sometime too about other things like creating a Fiverr account. Fiverr is it's a website where you sign up as a creator of, you know, no matter what the task is, generally things you can do online or on a computer and email or send. But you can do jobs for people all around the world, and you do it for as little as $5 per task, or all the way up to whatever you want to charge, depending on what the issue is. And people have Fiverr accounts, and they make money off of that. And the idea being, if you're an individual or a business looking for a task to be completed, you can go on Fiverr and find people who are advertising those skills and what their prices are, and you can offer them the chance to create a logo for your business or come up with this or that. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do with Fiverr. And so I'd like to explore that and other similar ideas for ways of making some dollar bills. Is that it? That's it for today, folks. Go to communityfromwithin.com. Look for the contact form. Send me a note, questions, comments, that sort of thing. And also, go to goodboy.ca to find out where to get Good Boy dog treats. That's it. Cheers, everybody. Have a great day. Sun shining. Enjoy it. Hurricane's on the way. When I'm recording this today, it's what, September 5th? Hurricane Dorian is creeping up the coast of, just past Florida on his way to North Carolina, coming towards Nova Scotia for Saturday, Sunday. Last night when I looked at the tracker, the center line went right over where we live. It's crazy. It's a little bit west of that today, but still, I mean, it could go anywhere. We're hoping it doesn't turn out to be anything too big. So, yeah, hope everybody stays safe and prepare for that. Cheers, everybody. Bye.